Yeah, that's the recorder for people that haven't figured out why I'm giving hand signals with my shamashim. Who? Me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too. Okay. Okay, so we got Parshat Noach today. Okay, and so from the time we were children, we just know the story of Noah, right? Where all of the animals, he builds the ark, yeah, for adult education folks. That made him not the greatest reputation among peoples of the earth at his time, but he had a great reputation as far as God is concerned, right? He was tzaddik tamim. He was righteous and tam, which is a really, really important idea within Judaism. That is that he had a simple righteousness, right? It's one of the great teachings of the Hasidim from the Baal Shem Tov, the Magid of Mitzrich, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov and his student Rabbi Nassim, is that you don't have to be a Torah scholar to have a relationship with God, right? Having a relationship with God is about faith. Now, going and learning Torah is one of the blessings that we have, right? We have the ability to do this. And as we do this, it gains merit for Israel. But you certainly don't have to be a Torah scholar to have a relationship with God. And there's many, many Hasidic stories about this. Right? The little boy, not that little, who was the shepherd. And every Yom Kippur, he had to be out in the fields making sure that the sheep didn't wander off. So he never got to come to Yom Kippur services. And finally, one day he had the opportunity, and he came to Yom Kippur services, and he was so moved at the Ne'ilah service, so moved. He did the only thing that he knew. So he took a shepherd's whistle that he used to control the sheep, and he blew it as hard as he could. And everybody in the congregation turned with, "What did you do? What did you do? This is Yom Kippur, this is Ne'ilah service, what did you do?" And the Rebbe stopped him and said, "Wait, this is righteousness." The point is, it's not, we concentrate a lot on doing the mitzvot. And doing the mitzvot is very important. But it's not as important as actually having a relationship with God that Noah had. That Noah had. He was tzedek tamim. He had this simple righteousness, which is of the heart. Okay, and certainly Yeshua spoke of this many, many, many times. Now, as we look through the story itself, and everybody, you know, should have this week had a time to look over the parsha, we see that we get a lot of things wrong about the story when we look at it as children, right? The animals went two by two into the ark, and this is only true for some of the animals. Others of the animals didn't. They went by seven pairs. The Torah portion says that the clean animals, there were seven pairs, right? So what are the clean animals? Remember, we didn't eat meat at the time. We ate the plants. And yet, God commands of the clean animals, tahara, you'll take seven pairs. So how did he know which animals were clean? How did he know? Only one source for ideas like this? God told him. So God told him what the clean animals were. Okay? So anybody that says that there isn't an oral law, there's some. Okay? And then things can continue through. Now, God gives a covenant to Noah. God gives a covenant to Noah, and it's important to understand. Many times, a covenant is taught that there are two parts. There's one part for one party and one part for the other party. God said, I'll do this if you do this. But here's an example of a covenant that there's only one party. That's God. God doesn't say, if you do anything. God says, I will not destroy the world by water ever again. Not if you do this, just I won't destroy the world by water again, period. And he gives us a sign. Now, this is something that is common to all covenants. All covenants, there's a sign. The covenant of Abraham, right, is a sign. What's the sign of the covenant of Abraham? No, circumcision. Yeah, that's the binding of Isaac. I gotcha. Right? I like the way you're thinking. Okay, but it's circumcision. Right? What's the sign of the covenant of Noah? Keshet Anan. Right, the rainbow in the cloud. Right? So there's something that every covenant has. There's always a sign. The sign isn't the covenant. The circumcision isn't the covenant. The rainbow isn't the covenant. It's a sign. What's the covenant of Noah? I'm not going to destroy the world by water ever again. Okay? Now that we've got that settled, here's some things you got to do. Right? The covenant is done. That's that. And then God gives Noah some instruction. Okay? Now earlier in Genesis, we learned that the nephesh is in the blood. The nephesh is in the blood. Nephesh is one of those words that is translated into English as soul, into Greek as pneuma, but that's the only word for soul in English and in Greek. But in Hebrew, there's five different words for soul. Nephesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida, and they're all alternately translated as soul or spirit in English and into Greek as pneuma. So when you look at the Greek, you don't know which Hebrew word they're talking about. And they all mean something different. So here, nephesh. That is the life that we have here on earth in time and space. You guys having a problem?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
El Toledo, I know what I'm looking for. Noah.
Yeah, yeah, you're way past.
Yeah.
Okay, there's Avraham. Mm. See, so we're not even Avram, we're Avraham. Mm. Okay. So, all of this, right? Trying to remember where I was. All of this is not it's not, I'll just say it's not translatable into English or Greek. Okay, it's just not translatable. You got to learn the concepts. And if you learn the Hebrew words, you'll end up using the Hebrew words because you won't be able to convey the meaning otherwise. Okay, so nephesh, time and space, this is the soul that we're engaged in right now. Our souls are engaged with each other within time and space. That's the nephesh. And the blood is in the nephesh. Okay? So here we have Noah, and one of the great commandments God gives to Noah is don't eat blood. Don't eat blood. Now, this commandment is the backbone of kosher butchery. It's what makes kosher meat different from all other meat. Why is this meat different from all other meats, right? And the reason that it's different is because great effort is made to get all of the blood out of the meat. Right? If you go and you get regularly slaughtered beef, no effort at all is made to get the blood out. But if you get kosher slaughtered beef, they make a great effort. They slit the throat. They allow time for all of the blood that they can get out of it to drain out of the meat. The meat is salted to get the remaining blood out of it. There's all kinds of things that happen in the process of kosher butchery to get the blood out of the meat. God commands Noah, don't eat the blood, because the blood is in the nefesh. Okay? So, who is this commandment given to? Only the sons of Noah. Only the descendants. So anybody here that's not a descendant of Noah doesn't have to pay attention to any of these commandments, okay? This is important. Now, there's parts of Judaism that take this as being the core, one of the seven Noahide laws, which say Torah teaches everybody that's a descendant of Noah should pay attention to these laws, including don't eat the blood. Okay? This is for everybody. A commandment of everybody. Other commands really require the Jewish people to do stuff, and other people look at what they're doing, understand they're the light to the nations because they're doing it, and come on in. Come on in and do it. Okay? This is different. These laws that God gives to Noah, it's for all of the descendants of Noah. Don't eat blood. Don't eat blood. Okay? Now, we live in the diaspora. Right? It's a curse. It's a curse. Right? We talked about a blessing and a curse last week. And it's important to understand. A blessing and a curse. These are consequences. These are not rewards and punishments. They're consequences. Very, very different. Right, I used the example last week of a toddler and an electrical socket. You know, or the Native American tradition. Tradition. They do not pull a child away from the fire. They won't do it. They don't do it. Child gets close to the fire once. Are you punishing the child? No. You tell them, don't go near the fire. So they go near the fire. So you're punishing? No, it's a consequence. They learn. If you touch the fire, it hurts. If you put your finger in the electrical socket, it hurts. You know? I'm sure Dr. Howard gets this all the time. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. And he gives the sage medical advice. Don't do that. This is Torah. This is Torah. God said, do this, don't do that. And so we do that. And he said, yeah, it hurts. Don't do that. So God gives this to us and says, don't do that, don't eat blood. But we're in the Galut. We're in the diaspora. Okay? Fort Myers, Florida is not the easiest place in the world to get a kosher meat. It's just not. Okay? So what do you do? Yeah, you could go to Miami, except our congregation would dwindle if everybody went to Miami. So I'm asking you, please be considerate and don't go to Miami. Go visit, come back. Okay. Road trip. Yes, the Aroma Grocery is not that far away. Okay. Aside from that, salt your meat. Okay, it is something we can do. You go to Publix, you buy a chicken. Right, again, Torah according to Fiddler on the Roof. If a poor man buys a chicken, one of them is sick. It doesn't say that in the Torah. Well, somewhere it says something about a chicken. Okay, so here we're... So you get a chicken, salt it. A couple hours before you're going to make the chicken, Set it on a board in your sink and put salt on it. This is what kosher salt is for. It's not that the salt is kosher. It's the salt is for koshering meat. That's why it's called kosher salt, right? You don't have rabbis creeping around all the grocery stores going, "Bless you, salt." No, we don't have that. It's for salting your meat. And you put it on a board in the sink, and you put salt on it, and you let it sit, and you'll see blood will come out of it, run into the sink. Then you rinse it off, and then do whatever you're going to do with it. If you're from if you're Jewish and from the Northeast, you're going to broil it or boil it. And if you're a good Southern boy, you fry it. Okay.
Made in a bowl with water.
With water, no. It's got to be pretty heavily salted water to get the blood out. Okay, and you can leave it. You could do that overnight. Honestly, doing it in the sink is easier. Okay, but if you're not going to be home before you're going to cook, sure, put it in salt water in the fridge overnight. That's fine too. The idea is that you make an effort to get the blood out. Okay, what does this make you do? This changes your life because you're thinking about God. You know, you're not just shoving chicken in your mouth, which is not a bad thing. I like shoving chicken in my mouth. But you're not just shoving chicken in your mouth. Now you're thinking about God while you're doing it, right? Okay? Don't eat blood. We'll get into the rest of the Noahide laws later because they come into play. Okay? Shabbat Shalom. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 15 for a minute. Anybody see the connection here with this and Parshat Noach? And the answer is, yeah, you should see the connection here because this is actually dealing with the laws given to Noach. This is dealing with the laws given to Noach, right? God said to Noach, don't do a bunch of things, and they get covered in Acts chapter 15, especially the last one, where it says, don't eat blood. Okay. Now, again, this is Paul getting called back to Yerushalayim to report. Report! And he's reporting to the Jerusalem Council stuff that's going on in the diaspora, in the Galut. Right? Because the guys that hang out in Jerusalem, they hang out in Jerusalem. You know, they don't have Facebook. They could go on and say, oh, look what Paul's doing. You know, they don't have that. So Paul comes back and reports and says, look, God's doing a whole bunch of miracles amongst the Gentiles. Who knew? Who knew? Now, when Paul is in the Galut, when he's in the diaspora, what's his congregation look like? And it looks like this, right? We got Jewish people. We've got converts to Judaism, right? We've got Gentiles that are practicing a lot of the Torah that's given to the Jews. And they got Gentiles that aren't even believers yet, right? All mixed in. Looks like this, right? So I feel for Paul because he's got to talk to everybody on different levels in the same teaching. And it ain't easy being green, I'm telling you. So Paul is coming back to the Jerusalem Council and relaying this stuff to the guys, the Pharisees on the Jerusalem Council, and they're all Pharisees. Right? Peter, James, they're all Pharisees. They all go to synagogue. Synagogue's Pharisaic. Sadducees hated synagogue. They would never go to synagogue. And those are the two big groups in the cities, and we're in Jerusalem. So they're Pharisees. And he's saying to him, hey, I don't get it, but look what's happening. Look what's happening amongst the Gentiles. And so Yaakov, James stands up and says, don't panic. Bring a towel. Just look, this shouldn't be a surprise to us. We've known this is coming. The prophets told us this is coming. So don't worry. But, and this explanation is given elsewhere in Acts. It says, look, you're not going to teach him Torah overnight. You're not going to teach him the mitzvot overnight. You're not going to do it. So, you know, it ain't going to happen. Nor should you put this burden on the teachers. So, we have a plan. We'll go to Torah and see what Torah says. And then we'll kind of fix that together. When God gave these commandments to Noah, what did it do? What did it do? Those that follow those commandments don't go off into paganism. That's it. That's what they do. You're thinking about God, you don't eat blood, you don't eat stuff that's strangled, that is, sacrifice to idols. You don't eat food sacrificed to idols. Okay? So these things that God gave to Noah to help keep us from straying to idolatry, we can use this. Because what's the big problem here? We get people that come in here, and then they leave the building, and they forget about it, and they go to the pagan temples, and they do that, and then they come back here. And we got the same problem that Solomon had, and that led to the destruction of the temple. So that we don't want. So how do we keep people from doing that? We teach, but they got to be here to be taught. Right? You have to understand what the culture of paganism was with the Greek, Greco-Roman empires. And the culture was, yeah, we pay lip service to the gods. We don't really think about them much. Unless we want them to do something for us. If we want them to do something for us, then we go and make an offering to the god or goddess that we want. Right? So I've got a situation. And I'm a Greek. So I go to Temple Street and look up and down the street at the different temples for the different gods. And I look at them and I say, hey, who can help me out with this most? And who has the most interesting and the most fun practices in their temple that I can deal with? So I go to the temple of Apollo. He looks pretty powerful, right? And they sacrifice bulls so I can get a steak. This is good. So I bring the offering, I get a steak, I eat the steak. The priest of Apollo comes and makes the tzatza. Now everything's going to work on me. And I go after giving them a good hunk of money. And I wait and see. Well, does my situation change? Well, okay, it didn't change, so I got to go find a different god or goddess, you know. So I'll go to this Aphrodite over here. Now, that looks real nice. You know, I just won't tell my wife. And I'll go to the temple of Aphrodite, and I'll make the offering, and I'll stay a few hours. And I give them lots of money. And then, does my situation change? Well, not necessarily. So the whole idea is, if you want the gods to do something for you, you go and you go to the temples and you do the thing. Now, steak dinners are nice. You know, stooping the priestesses and the Aphrodite, that's, you know, what's not to like? So how are we going to keep people from doing this? How are we going to keep people away from paganism? And that's what James is talking about going back to the laws of Noah, which were originally structured to do precisely that. Now we're going to do this here amongst the new believers in the Messiah of Israel. Okay? So let's look. Instead, we should write them a letter telling them to abstain from things that are polluted by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from what is blood. Now, if we can get them to do that, they'll stop going to the temples. And they'll just come to synagogue on Shabbat. What's going to happen when they're in synagogue on Shabbat? They're going to get taught Torah. So they're going to learn it. We don't have to shove it down their throat all at once. They're going to learn it. Give them a couple years. Give them a couple years. Right? Then you kind of get used to it. It's so funny being in a synagogue on Yom Kippur. You get people coming into the synagogue that have never fasted before. They're like, really? 24 hours? Oh, it's longer than that. Oh my gosh, it's longer than 24 hours? No water? I'm going to die. You know, how do you do it? I've been doing this for almost 50 years. I can do this. It's really not that big a deal when you do it. Oh, I'm going to die. I can't eat shrimp? What do you mean I can't eat shrimp? I can't eat shrimp? Really? Yeah. It's an overrated experience. So you don't shove everything down somebody's throat all at once. And let me explain what happens when you do. People get enthralled with what my brilliant wife calls the refrigerator magnets. They forget to look at what's inside the refrigerator. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to wear tzitzis. I got to wear tzitzis in a kippah. I got to get it. These things are important, but they're not the point. So when James is standing up before the council and talking to them, he's going by Torah, that this is what God said the Gentiles must do. This is their obligation. And the things they don't must gotta do, they're gonna learn, because Israel is a light unto the nations. That's us. Right? What are they learning in the synagogue every Shabbat? Moses. Who's teaching them? Us. Our students and our students' students. The Kaddish Darabanan, right? It's us. We're the light to the nations. So they learn how to do the rest of the stuff from us. Are they obligated? No. But Israel's a light to the nations. We are the Goy Kadosh, we're the holy nation. Mamlechet Kohanim diyu. We are the kingdom of priests. That's our role. Everybody's got a different role. It's a role. If you're a Gentile and you're learning this stuff, you have a role I can't perform. I can't perform. I can't go to the Gentiles and say, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. Why? Because they say, you're a rabbi. What do you know? You guys rejected Yeshua. Well, yeah. Yeah. Why did we reject Yeshua? So the fullness of the Gentiles could come in? That's your fault. But I don't say that. Okay? That's a role I can't fulfill. I can't do it. They won't listen. They're too Jewish. Well, you know, I can't help that either. Okay? So you have a role. And that's only part of it. Big, big role. Everybody has a role. Everybody's equal. Okay? So here, we've got all of these Gentiles coming in, and they need to learn the Torah and what to do. They're not going to learn it all at once. Okay, so when we get new people in that are just looking at this, maybe for the first time, and they're a little bit cross-eyed, don't try to shove the entire Torah down their throat at once. It's wrong. And that's what James is saying. It places a burden on the teachers that they shouldn't have. And the people are going to, they'll rebel. They'll reject it because it's a different culture. It's not that it's too much. It's that it's a different culture. That's all. There are far more traffic regulations than there are mitzvot in the Torah. And somehow we managed to drive cars. Right? So, la'at, la'at, we say in Hebrew. Gently, gently. Little by little. Okay? And this is James's point, Yaakov's point. And everybody says, oh, that's a good idea. And they write him a letter. And off it goes. Okay? So, yes, we do Torah. Jews are obligated to be the light to the nations. Gentiles, come on in, the water's fine. Okay? Gentiles to teach Gentiles. Jews to teach whoever is willing to learn. In order to do that, we got to do it right. So we do it right. Teach by example. Lead with compassion in the heart. And we'll be walking and be in the right way and be a Eidat HaDerech. We'll be the congregation of the way. Shabbat Shalom.